This is All Things Considered on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Kendra Carr. The first week of the criminal trial of State Representative Larry Inman wrapped up today. He's facing up to 30 years in prison on federal corruption charges. IPR's Max Johnston was there where he saw Inman take the stand. He joins me live over the phone to tell us what happened. Hi, Max.
Hi, Kendra.
So Larry Inman testified today, which I understand was surprising since no one for sure knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, his attorney had said in the past that he might testify. Most of us thought it was a very slim chance it would actually happen, because it's really a huge risk to open up your client to cross-examination by the prosecutors. But they did it, and his testimony wrapped up today.
Can you summarize his testimony for us? This case centers on how he voted on a union wage issue last year. So what did he have to say about that?
Yeah, so Inman's accused of asking lobbyists to basically give him cash to vote their way. Inman's defense, and it's something he repeated today, is that he was getting pressure from other lawmakers, and he had concerns over this particular union issue. That all factored into his vote, not the promise of any money from lobbyists. So he reiterated that today in his testimony.
So prosecutors used text messages that Inman sent as evidence that he was looking for a bribe. Did he try to explain those at all?
Sort of. So he didn't deny sending any of those text messages, but he said he was on a lot of opioids and drinking really heavily around that time. So he said he doesn't remember really sending any of those text messages to lobbyists. In fact, he really disputed the prosecution's interpretation of them. You know, they think that that's clearly him asking for a bribe. He said those text messages were just lobbyists were throwing around a lot of cash to lawmakers, and he was telling them over text to go after other lawmakers to get their vote. So that was sort of his argument.
So Inman's health and opioid use has been a big theme of this trial. Did he talk about that at all?
Yeah, this is pretty much all they talked about today. Two former employees of his that worked on his campaign staff described Inman suffering from a bunch of health problems. He was taking painkillers and drinking alcohol to deal with pain from surgeries on his back, on his ankle, and on his abdomen. His employees said all these drugs and alcohol manifested in a lot of mood swings. Inman was more forgetful and bitter towards them. And that his employees, they just said they were kind of bummed out because they really liked working for him, and they generally considered him a good and honest guy. When he testified, he said he had four surgeries over the course of 2 years, and he was taking increasingly large doses of painkillers, specifically hydrocodone, and drinking really heavily throughout that time frame. At one point, his attorney, Chris Cook, entered into evidence a big orange shoebox that they brought out in court that had all these pill bottles stashed into it, literally like dozens that it looked like. And they showed it to the court. Inman said that he kept leftover pills there. He was hoarding them up until the day of the trial just to have in case, you know, anything got that bad. He said he was that dependent on drugs. So they showed this shoebox in court. And Inman said that because of all this drug and alcohol abuse, the past few years, big chunks of it are kind of a blur. He doesn't remember a lot, including sending these text messages to lobbyists. And then he did say, I believe it was last summer, that he entered into a drug treatment program and got clean.
So since he testified, did the prosecutors get to question him? Did they ask him about these health problems?
Yeah, Inman was cross-examined today by prosecutors. He pointed out that in this period when he was allegedly taking lots of drugs, they pointed out that he was driving himself back and forth to the Capitol from Traverse City, that he was able to do his job, a big, important job, as they said. And that this idea that Inman was under the influence of so many drugs that he couldn't function, prosecutors basically said that's an outright lie that he and his attorney came up with just to have a defense strategy for this criminal trial. To prove this, they showed a patient intake form that Inman filled out when he entered that drug treatment center. Under the reasons for visit portion, Inman apparently wrote legal reasons, not something like, you know, drug treatment. So that seemed to be a pretty significant piece of evidence that the prosecution kept going back to.
So how did Inman take all of this grilling?
During his attorney's questions, because that's who started off, Inman was very sort of pensive and regretful about a lot of this. He sighed a lot after talking about all the stuff he did. He said he was really ashamed of his actions and that especially in a public forum, he didn't want to talk about it. In particular, the shoebox of pills that sort of his attorney brought out, he was really ashamed of that, even sort of bringing out in the court. He seemed to be very embarrassed by that. When it came to the prosecutors cross-examining him, Inman got pretty animated and defensive towards the prosecutors. He multiple times after answering a question wanted to elaborate. He'd say something like, "Can I elaborate on that, please?" Which is a no-no in court. You're just supposed to answer the questions. And the judge and the prosecuting attorney told him, "No, you just answer the questions. This isn't a place for you to sort of, you know, elaborate on your reasoning." At one point, he insulted the prosecuting attorney that was asking these questions, told him he was just rambling. So at times, he was kind of lashing out over their line of questioning. He was pretty animated during that part of the trial.
So that's the first week of the trial. What's the outlook for the rest of the case?
So Inman's testimony is done. There's one more witness from the defense, and then we may get some more sort of response litigation from the prosecutors. They're still figuring out if they're going to come back with some more stuff they're going to tell the jury. But every sign indicates that the jury will get this case for deliberation on Monday or Tuesday of next week for a verdict. So we're looking at that time frame for when it's going to be done.
IPR's Max Johnston will be keeping us up to speed. Thanks so much for reporting on this, Max.
Thank you, Kendra.